Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. And now, before we start today, we have a request. If you're genuinely enjoying what we do here on the Internet Marketing Podcast, then please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast app, because it really helps us to grow the podcast and ensures that we bring you great marketing tips and advice each week. Now, today I'm joined by Dick Stroud, author and MD of 20 plus 30 Consulting. Dick, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad it's Friday, I have to admit.
Yes, I like Fridays. Fridays are one of my favourite days, probably because they come just before the weekend. Now, you're down in sunny Wiltshire, aren't you? Wiltshire, for our American Wiltshire. Listeners.
Indeed, with near to Salisbury and Stonehenge and the cathedral and all of those sorts of things. Yes. So, yeah, it's a nice part of the world, although the dark skies overhead, I think it's going to be raining pretty soon. But no, it's a lovely place to live.
It's a very mystical part of the UK, isn't it? There's lots of crop circles and UFO phenomena down there, aren't there? But this isn't a paranormal podcast, so we better get straight on with the with the subject of today's show. So let's start off. Let's start off with you, Dick, telling us just a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing with 20 plus 30.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess I'm not going to give you the full life history because it's quite a long life. So I'll kind of jump in when I first got involved in the business I'm involved in now. And that goes back to about 2002. And it was one of those very lucky events. I started to do some work with OMD, which is the media agency. It's part of Omnicom. And it was the head of insights for OMD in the UK, had a particular interest in population aging and how that's going to affect media consumption. Mm. And we spent some time talking about how we might work together. Anyway, a deal was done, and the deal was this, that they had the money and the international reach. So they said, look, if we'll do a research project in the US, UK, Germany and Australia, and you do the analysis and write a book, and we'll jointly launch the book, and we'll launch it through the Omnicom network, and it means that our staff get an understanding of what they saw as an important issue. This is 2002, by the way, and you get a lot of exposure and a lot of research. So that's how I started, and I thought of what should I call myself, and anything with 50 or 60 in it, the domains were gone. So I thought, well, how about 20 plus 30? You get to 50. Yeah. And after the book was published, which was called The 50 Plus Market, I then did a lot of consultancy, mainly in sort of marketing consultancy, the sorts of things that marketing consultants do, things like segmentation studies, market research, media usage study. But what happened was because my background was from the technology industry, I became particularly interested in the way in which aging affects the way people use technology, digital, as we would say now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That lasted for quite some time, and then I started to develop other interests and started to kind of narrow down on the area of interest. But It might be an idea. I don't know if you think just to why is the older markets quite an interesting one to almost all organisations. So maybe a few facts and figures would be useful. Do you think?
Well, definitely. Are you willing to give us those now, or should we save them for later in the show for a sort of a highlight?
Let's do that, and it will kind of lead into this thing of the ageing.
Yeah, because it is a fascinating. I'm quite excited about today's show because it's something that I think we're at 400 odd shows now. And it's something that we've never really addressed, as far as I can remember, in the show. This particular segment of older people, and we know that if you look at the sort of age distributions, we know that certainly in the UK, it's becoming an older nation, isn't it?
Well, it is, and if those listening to the broadcast, if your main market's the millennial market, then you've got my sympathies, because certainly in the UK, and certainly in the older parts of Europe, over the next decade, that's going to be a declining sector in terms of numbers. Same goes for Generation X. If you look at boomers, they're going to increase in the UK by about 13%. But if you're looking at the 65 plus age group, that's increasing by over a quarter. So, just in terms of, raw numbers, it becomes a kind of a bit of a no-brainer that maybe we ought to spend some time thinking about this group, because there's going to be a lot more of them. If you then add on to that, what will be their disposable income of the different generations, which, it's quite a hot topic at the moment. And that's something that's changed over maybe the last 5 years, which is, millennials probably justifiably feel pretty much pushed because of higher housing costs and, university fees and everything else.
Yeah.
An older age group, not all by any means. And there's a lot of older people who don't have the cash, but a lot do, and they have good pensions, and their property is purchased, they have property equity, and so there's no doubt about it that 25-30% of the older age group are actually doing pretty well. I term them the charm generation, because they're not necessarily charming, but they have been charmed as far as their circumstances of wealth and income.
Yeah.
So it's a area which, and most people say to me, you mean sort of old companies selling up to older consumers? Well, it's not just that. It's companies almost selling any sort of product, whether if you're a travel company, you're a white goods company, you're an electronics company. People don't stop buying these products as they hit their 60s and 70s. And even though your prime market may be younger, you're still going to be shifting a lot of business through an older group. And you've just got to be aware of what's happening to them. So, that's why I think it's a pretty important place to be.
And you mentioned, I know in your blog posts and in your books, you mentioned the aging business, that term, the aging business, quite a bit. What exactly do you mean by that? I'm assuming it involves a bit more than what you just mentioned, a bit more than just the people themselves, but presumably the marketing around it as well.
It does. What happens whenever you sort of, you meet at a social event, people say, well, what do you do? And then you go into a long rambling.
Oh, I hate that question,
explanation about, well, I do this. And I thought, well, I need a snappier term for it. And essentially, the aging business, there's a lot of people, be they consultancies, certainly a lot of government money is spent, a lot in the charities. There are a lot of companies that dedicate their business to an older age group. And believe it or not, there's a lot of money spent by companies trying to get to grips with what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wrap all of that lot into one group, and I call it the aging business. It's the business where people are making money or spending money trying to understand how they're going to respond to, this huge change in the makeup of the population and the consumer base. So it's a kind of catch-all name for what is, a group which has probably got half a dozen different subcategories to it. So that's the aging business.
Now, being somebody who for a small part of my life was involved in the medical side of things, I'm quite interested in what the sort of physiological sort of effects of aging. I was wondering what effect that has from a marketing perspective and sort of on the sort of customer or consumer journey.
Yeah. Well, again, it was one of those very fortunate instances which happened. So because of the work I was doing in the aging business, I was asked to go over to Japan to speak. And I met another one of the guys at the conference, who's an Australian who works in Asia Pacific in the advertising business. And it's a similar sort of age. And we got talking. We both came to had been having the same idea for some time, which is that, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about all the usual things about, you know, as I said, segmentation and researching behaviors of older people and all of that. But there's something far more fundamental, which actually no one is talking or was talking about. Mm. And that is the fact that, you know, unfortunately, things start going a tad wrong with you as you get a little older, you know, in terms of the senses, in terms of the mind, the cognitive ability, and in terms of the body. And all of these things, I mean, you know, obviously, but I'm not talking about necessarily illnesses. These are just the natural things that occur as you get older. And so if you ask yourself the question, well, so as a marketeer, how do I, and I'm in same charge of trying to optimize the customer journey and its effectiveness, how do I react to that? Because I know I've got a lot more of these older customers, and I know they're a pretty wealthy bunch, some of them. And so what am I doing to ensure that, you know, the touch points in the customer journey that I'm putting in place are going to be, we use the term age-friendly, going to be as useful for a 65, 75-year-old as they're going to be for a 25-year-old? This is nothing about the creative that you're using or the talent that you're using in the advertising. This is just literally the touch points work. And believe it or not, just nobody was doing that. And so that set us down the track of thinking, well, hey, maybe there's some money to be made here, and maybe there's a business. So that kind of diverted my attention. And we worked together, and we wrote another book, which is always the way to kind of get into a new business, and we called it Marketing to the Aging Consumer. And it just looks at physiological aging, and that means to marketeers. And it's been very successful, and a lot of other stuff has come out of it, which we can go and talk about.
I quite fancy talking about those stats that you promised us earlier. Tell us some of these stats in terms of the aging population.
Well, I think we're talking about sheer numbers. We're talking about the importance that they have to a range of business sectors. So if you look at the financial services sector, they are the most important age group. If you're looking at much of the cosmetic sector, they're probably the dominant customer group. If you're looking at the growth that's going to come in Europe over the next decade, nearly all of it is going to come from the over 65s in terms of consumer spending.
Yeah.
So, you know, wherever you kind of dig around, you come up with numbers which indicate that this group is becoming more important to all types of business. And, okay, you know, whether we're talking about an increase of 15%, 20%, we do know that the increase is far larger than it is for younger age groups. So it really is, as I said, the kind of no-brainer of all no-brainers, that it's a hugely important sector. For instance, there's a report just published this week by the FCA, Financial Conduct Authority, on the how finance companies, any finance companies listening, make sure you get the report. It's, you know, I help contribute to it, so it's got some interesting stuff in it. But the older age group have got over £1.2 trillion worth of housing equity, which is going to have to be released over the coming decade. So I mean, numbers are huge, Andy. They're just, you know, they're so large that there is no decision other than you really need to understand this sector.
Yeah, I know that one of the quotes you often use actually is, is it measure what is measurable and make measurable what is not? Was it Galileo that originally came up with that?
It was indeed.
I was just wondering how that relates to your work.
Well, I'm sure you sat through numerous presentations, PowerPoint presentations, with lots of clouds and arrows and nice descriptive things about how companies and strategies should change. And
I usually try and avoid those sort of talks.
Well, you can't. But what we found is that, and quite rightly so, organizations, and we were talking really about quite large multi-brand organizations, more and more say, okay, this is fine, but we want metrics. We want something. Are we doing better than, this brand is better than our competitive brand? And so the thing that we were faced with was, how do you take this issue of having a the customer journey, which we all sort of understand pretty well, and overlaying on top of that all the 25 different effects of aging, and coming up with something so that you're able to analyze a customer journey, not from the point of view of its creativity and those things which marketers love doing, but purely whether it's fit for purpose for an older age group. And so we spent one hell of a long time creating a database of questions which looked at the whole journey. We put it into an iPad app, which we developed for ourselves and researchers that work with us, so we could scale the thing. And it means that we can look at any customer journey and competitive customer journey and map them, and also look at how organizations at a touch point level compare with the norm that we found in other bits of research. And what we've done, because it all sounds a bit sort of complicated and whatever, is we put a really, really simplified version of it onto iTunes. So anyone listening, and I'm sure at the end you'll give the references with the website, but go on to especially the very nice new app store which Apple's just launched, and search for AF Brand, and you can download for free and just look and see how the thing hangs together. It's a unique piece of software for measuring the way in which physiological aging affects the whole customer journey. So that's what we had to do. We had to make it measurable, and we did.
So if you had one tip or key takeaway for our audience today, what would it be, Dick? Well, this is a hard one for you, isn't it?
Well, I'm sure everyone says, well, that's really difficult, to come up with just one tip. I think, and I've got to be honest, Andy, I thought, well, let's write this down, because you want a succinct answer. I think it would be something like this. Do you know how a trend of the touch points in your customer journey are? This is the question I think anyone listening to this should be asking themselves. And to be honest, I know the answer, and the answer is no, you probably don't. Now, are you absolutely certain that's something you can ignore? And I think if you take away nothing else, but ask yourself that question, do we know, is it important? And I think it's then a matter of focusing your attention. You'll no doubt give websites and other things where you can get more information about it. There are things you can do about it, but it's making that first decision about, is it important to us? And that's the question to ask. So ask yourself that question.
Well, Dick, thanks so much for coming on the show. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about your business?
Okay, well, the website is 20plus30, that's 20plus30.com. And then there's another website which I share with Kim, which is really very much about the app and has all the videos and all the other stuff about it. And that's www.age-friendly.com.
And just again, I know you mentioned this earlier, Dick, just find that app. Just go onto the iTunes store and look for Age Friendly. Is that
if you go onto the, well, there's quite a lot on there. What I would, the easier thing to do is go via the age-friendly.com website. Right. And we've got lots of links on there to the app, so you can pick it up from there.
Well, thanks, Dick. And thanks to our listeners for listening. The show notes are on the usual place, sitevisibility.com/impodcast. We are always open to questions and suggestions. So we've got an email, podcast@sitevisibility.com. You can tweet us @sitevisibility if you want to feedback or ask questions or suggest things. If you want to connect to me personally, I'm Dr. Pod, DocTorPod on Twitter and LinkedIn. If you want to continue the conversation, you can do so by joining the Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. And I think that's it. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Dick.
Have a good weekend.
and we'll see you soon on the Internet Marketing Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.